Ecclesiastes chapter 5. I just got done reading some books about World War II. You know, when I was in school, I didn't like to read about history because I was made to read about history. You know, you had to read it. So you were really cramming to make a good grade on your test. But doing that, I really didn't retain anything. When Brother Harris, the book man, Harrison, was here, I got some books because he has a lot of war-type books. So I just got done reading a book about World War II. And when we first went into World War II, you know, we got bombed. The Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor and stuff like that. And we were really, for the first year, you know, everybody said that Japan woke up the sleeping giants. And I'm going somewhere with all this, so hang on. But and they very much did. And it's interesting, from the first year of World War II to the last year, the production of the United States industry. And honestly, if you look at it, because when our troops were in Tarawa, all right, the island, and in Bataan, everybody's heard of the Bataan Death March. You know the reason that we had to give up Bataan and all those soldiers had to take that death march? I mean, tens of thousands of American soldiers were POWs, was because they ran out of supplies. Okay, they couldn't fight. They didn't have bullets. They didn't have food. They were getting, you know, they just couldn't fight. Well, by the end, and I don't have the numbers with me this morning, but by the end of World War II, the United States was pumping out like, I don't remember, it was a ridiculous number of aircraft carriers every year, like 40-some aircraft carriers. And that's so every time that the United States Navy showed up in an engagement, they were bringing over 1,000 battle aircraft with them every engagement. All right. The last year of World War II, the United States of America produced over 350,000 combat airplanes, and Japan produced like 47 or something. It was something ridiculous like that. And you know, I'm thankful for the fighting man, and I think we give tribute to our veterans. But you know, honestly, who won that war? It was the fighting man. It was the guy on the front line. But it was everyone back home is who won that war. Because without supplies and without everything, and what I'm saying is, you know, we have our teenagers and they sacrificed a lot. And there's some of us that we spend a lot of time with the teen rally. But honestly, without your prayers and your financial support and your, you know, being able to run the buses and stuff like that, we wouldn't have been able to see what happened. So I want to say thank you. Thank you to everyone here. Now we're going to be in Ecclesiastes chapter 5. This morning, we're going to try to abbreviate this. We don't normally do this, but I've got breakfast for folks, so I think I got enough, as long as you don't pig out on it. So we should be good. Brother Herrick took care of us there. And I got some bananas if you can't have donuts. So there's banana. I tried to think of, I'm sure I left somebody out. So, but there's bananas, juice, coffee, and it'll be outside. So if you can keep everything outside. We try not to make messes and stuff in here, but the guys will help us with that. All right, Ecclesiastes chapter number 5. We're going to look at verse number 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 1. The Bible says, "Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. For they consider not that they do evil. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon earth, therefore let thy words be few. For a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by multitude of words. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin, neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thy hands?" It's interesting. We're going to look at this morning, and we're going to use our Bibles a lot, so I hope you've got your Bibles ready. And I want to show you some things out of the Word of God that I think will be a blessing and very applicable things. So let's pray this morning. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for the opportunity that you give us to come to your house. Lord, we don't take it for granted. Thank you for everyone that has sacrificed. The adults in this room is what makes the bus ministry work and what makes it function and what puts fuel in the fuel tanks. And Lord, I pray that you just bless everyone here. Help them to know that the fruit of their labor for within the last couple days, even though it may be an unseen battle that was fought, Lord, I thank you for those that have contributed and have been supportive of everything that we've tried to do. And Lord, thank you for this opportunity. Lord, I pray that you guide my words as we talk about words this morning and the things that we say. Lord, I only want to say that which would honor you, and help me to be very careful with what I say, both here and every encounter I have with people and others. And I pray, Lord, you just help me with that. Lord, thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. It's interesting, the last phrase in verse number 6 of Ecclesiastes chapter 5, the Bible says, wherefore should God be angry at what? Two words here. Thy voice. That's right. Thy voice, and destroy the work of thine hands. That's interesting, because God said, Ecclesiastes, why should I be angry at the things that you've said? And because of the things that you've said, I've destroyed everything that you've done. All right? Now, that's interesting, because many times, and I'm just, most people, whether, you know, I know I'm up here, and I know I have to get in front of people, but generally, as a general rule, I'm fairly quiet, okay? I'm not a talkative person. I'll talk about ideas. I like ideas. I like formulating and thinking about things, but just as a normal talking, I don't talk as a whole lot, maybe. But it's interesting how many times everything that you've built, maybe with your hands, in one statement. Okay, let's say you build a relationship with someone. And I'm going to show you this here in the Bible. Let's say you build a relationship with someone, and in one rash moment, you know, the Bible talks about rashness here. Verse number 2, it says, be not rash with thy mouth, and be not hasty. And in one moment, you can destroy a relationship that you've spent years building in one moment. Okay? And you've destroyed the works of your hands. All right? So we're going to use our Bibles this morning. And I want to show you, I've just got 5 principles that I'm going to show you. And we're going to use the Bible a lot about helping us with the things that we say. The things that we say. Because I believe that the things that we say is very important. I'm going to show you that. So let's go to Proverbs, and we're going to skip around, like I said, quite a bit. But Proverbs chapter number 18, Proverbs chapter 18, we're going to look at verse number 21. Bible says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it. You know, that's very true. You have, the things that we say, you know, there is a saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Is that what it is? That's not really true. You can be hurt very deeply by words. Okay? Now, it doesn't leave a visible mark. But there are things that hurt more than visible things. And we need to be careful with the things that we say. You're in chapter 18. If you flip back to chapter 17, look at verse number 7. The Bible says, excellent speech, chapter 17, verse 7, excellent speech becometh not a fool, much less do lying lips a prince. What is excellent speech? When I think of excellent, I think of a man in the Bible who was of an excellent spirit. Who was that? Remember? It's Daniel. Daniel was the man in the Bible that the Bible said he had an excellent spirit. And you know, it's interesting, because when the other princes of Babylon came and they presented, they said, we can't find anything wrong with Daniel except for what? His God, him serving his God. That means nothing that Daniel ever said. If Daniel had an excellent spirit, I also believe that Daniel had excellent speech. Okay? It's interesting when, in the realm of politics, how many times someone, just recently, a governor, somebody pulled up something about, and I don't know the whole situation, somebody pulled up something that a governor had said when he was in high school, like a senior in high school. And they pulled up, and it was something that any one of us would have said as a senior in high school. Really a very flippant statement. And they pulled that up, and they were trying to incriminate, and I don't know if that's not the right word, but they were throwing mud on his name because of something he said 40 years previously or whatever. Okay? And very much in politics, that's true. Okay? They bring up things. But with Daniel, they couldn't find anything. Your speech is very much a representation of who you are. Now, I want you to think about this. When Peter, and if we go to Matthew chapter 26, we won't go there. I'll show you. But when in Matthew chapter 26, verse number 73, when Peter was standing there by the fire, and one of the people there said, "Your speech bewrayeth you." What did that mean? Your speech is giving you away. How you talk gives you away. Could you be, could you be incriminated as being a Christian simply by the words that you say? When you're on the phone with somebody, okay? And listen, I don't like telemarketers any more than you do. And I just hang up. Most of them are automated anymore anyway. But does your speech bewray you? I mean, do you cuss somebody out on the phone? Well, they don't know I'm a Christian. Well, it's exactly what they think, too. They don't think that you're a Christian. Okay? Are you irate with someone? Well, bless God. And you just tell them a piece of your mind. I have a statement about that, but we won't go there. All right, Luke chapter 6. Go to Luke chapter 6. This is just preliminary, all right? I'll give you the points here in a moment. I'm trying to show you how important the things that you say is. Luke chapter number 6. Look at verse number 43. Luke chapter 6, verse 43. "For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bringeth forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh." You know what your words simply are a representation of? What your heart is. That's what your words are, and my words. Okay? And sad to say, sometimes my heart's not right, therefore my words are not right. Okay? I'm just as guilty as anyone. Okay? 1 Timothy, go to 1 Timothy chapter number 4. We're in the Old New Testament, so 1 Timothy chapter number 4. Probably should have just written some of these down I just read them, but 1 Timothy, it's good to see it. 1 Timothy chapter number 4, the Bible gives an encouragement to young people, which we have the young adult class in here. The Bible says, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers." And the first thing he put here is in word. In word. Be an example of the believers in word. If you go to chapter 5, if you look at verse number 13, and the only reason we're just looking here because we're close. The Bible says in verse 13, "And withal they learned to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not." And we're going to look at that, the thought there in just a moment. And then lastly, before we get into the five things, James chapter 3. James chapter number 3. Now it's interesting here. There's a whole passage here about your tongue. James chapter 3, verse number 1. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. This is James 3. It's after Hebrews, verse 1. We're on 2 now. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man. That's amazing. And able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeded blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. That's pretty amazing. And when you think about it, it's very true. We control so many things, but we can't control what we say. And so that gives you kind of a preface of the importance of talking and how we say things. So I'm going to give you five things, and there's many more that we can give you. Obviously, and I'm not going to teach on this because I hope it's an obvious, but, you know, tell the truth. we could do a whole lesson on just not lying, all right? But I hope that's kind of an obvious thing. So the first thing I want to talk about is sparing speech. Speak sparingly. Be a person of few words. Okay? Ecclesiastes told us that. All right? Go to Proverbs chapter 17. We were just there. I'm going to show you this verse. Not the one we just showed you, but a different one. Proverbs chapter 17. You know, you can't get in trouble with your mouth if your mouth never opens. That's just the truth of the matter. And many times we just talk too much. And it's not anymore with our technology, folks. Listen, it's not just verbal words. It's a text message. It's something you post on whatever social media thing you're on. Okay? Those can be just as damaging and just as hurtful. And in some ways, they can even be more so. Because have you noticed when you're talking to someone, your voice inflections, and you may say something that's very sarcastic, but because the way you say it, it can come across as okay. But do you realize there are no voice inflections on a text message? And if you send me, you say, well, I sent him an emoji. All right, just to clear this up, if you send me an emoji, maybe this will help everyone here. If you send me an emoji, you know what an emoji is, a little smiley face thing? You see my phone here? You know what that emoji comes up as? A square. So I don't know if you're happy. I don't know if you're mad. So I don't know what you're... I know that you're showing emotion in something. You're emoting, I guess. But I have no clue how you're emoting, okay? So just throw that out there for you. You could be... You know, hate me at the moment, all right? Little devil thing, whatever. All right. Proverbs chapter 17. I'm talking about speaking sparingly, speaking fewer words. The Bible says in verse 27, he that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. You know, usually a person that talks all the time about everything knows very little about anything. Have you ever noticed that? People that talk a lot about everything know very little about anything. Versus a guy that may know everything about that particular topic, and he'll just sit there and watch you make a fool out of yourself. All right? I've been the guy that's, you know, on the opposite end of that, as far as, you know, somebody was just sitting there and they knew all the knowledge. I just went along, blundered, made all these mistakes, and I asked him later, like, oh, yeah, you should have done it like this. I'm like, oh, well, that would have been nice to know. But you know what? The knowledge and wisdom keeps them many times from saying anything, all right? Now, you know, I think we ought to, and I've taught the opposite end of that, you know, share your knowledge with people, and that's a good thing. But a man of knowledge spareth his words. Go to Proverbs chapter number 10. Proverbs chapter number 10. A lot of these are in Proverbs. Book of Wisdom should be fitting. Proverbs chapter 10, look at verse 19. In the multitude of words, there wanteth, that word wanteth means lacketh, all right, or is a lack of. In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. He that refraineth his lips. Just don't say anything. If I was quiet here for just a second, people are uncomfortable with quiet. That's why everybody always has earbuds. You know, you see most people, they have some kind of music or something, some kind of noise. People are uncomfortable with quiet. But you know what? If everyone's quiet, at least nobody's sinning with your mouth. Okay? Proverbs chapter 29. Proverbs chapter 29. You know, I don't know is a good answer sometimes. Hey, what about this? And many times you just want to give them the answer to all their problems. And sometimes if you don't really know the answer, just say, I don't know, but I can find out for you. Proverbs chapter 29, verse number 20. The Bible says, seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There is more hope of a fool than of him. Ouch, that kind of hurts. James chapter 1, I'll just read this one to you. We just read it, so I want to read it again if I can get there quickly. James chapter number 1, verse number 19. The Bible says, oh, we didn't read this one. The Bible says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. So first of all, sparing speech. Be sparing in the things that you say. Secondly, is timely speech. Timely speech. You know, there is something about not talking at all, and there is something about saying the right thing at the right time. Many times the things that we say, most sin, and I've heard people say this and I agree, most sin is not necessarily a bad thing. It's a good thing done at the wrong time. Okay? Say for instance, I have, and there are times that you have to publicly rebuke something. All right? And I'm just going to give you this illustration. There are times that, you know, if I have a group of teenagers and one of them is publicly acting up, okay, I have to correct that person. Publicly, because it's a public, you know, you smite a scorner publicly, so who's beware because of that? The simple, all right? It makes the others sit up. On the other hand, you never take an opportunity to belittle that person and to humiliate that person, all right? You may have to correct them, but many times you pull somebody aside privately and you correct something with them privately and you've won yourself a friend. Okay, but doing it publicly, and then what is that? There's a time to everything. Okay, Ecclesiastes, we just talked about that. To everything there is a season and time to every purpose under the heaven. All right, timely speech. Go to Proverbs, I think, are you still in Proverbs? Proverbs chapter 25, verse number 11. Proverbs chapter 25, verse number 11. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. Fitly. It fits in the right spot. Fits in the right spot. The word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. Go to Proverbs chapter number 15. Proverbs chapter 15. Look at verse number 23. A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, We could also say there, a man hath sorrow by the answer of his mouth. Okay? It goes both ways. And a word spoken in due season, how good is it? Exclamation point. How good is it is not a question here. It's a statement. And it's an exclamation point. It's an excitement. How good is it? All right? Proverbs chapters number, or same chapter, look at verse 28. The heart of the righteous studieth to answer. What is that? You think about what you're saying before you say it, and then say it at the right time. But let's look at the opposite of that. Look at the second part of that verse. But the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things, just like a fountain, just like a water hose, just keeps coming and coming and coming. All right? And everyone in here has been around someone like that. Proverbs chapter 16, look at verse number 24. Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Sweet to the soul and health to the bones. You know, some people need a word of encouragement every once in a while. You know what that is? You know what pleasant words are? Sweet to the soul and health to the bones. All right? Proverbs chapter 29. Proverbs chapter 29, look at verse number 20. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 20. We already looked at this one, but seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There's more hope of a fool. I just got to say this. I got to speak my mind. First of all, you need to have a healthy mind to speak from. All right? It's timely. Say things at the right time, all right? And you'll be very much considered wise. So number two was timely speech. Number three, and I've just got a couple references for this. So first of all, just be careful how much you talk. Secondly, be careful about when you talk. Thirdly, and I think this is good, go to Colossians chapter number 4. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians chapter number 4. We're going to look at verse 5. And honestly, I probably have trouble with this one quite a bit. Proverbs chapter 4, look at verse 5. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without. Now it's talking about the world, basically, is what it's talking about. Redeeming the time. Verse 6, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Learn to be gracious with the things that you say. Sometimes we say the truth. Well, that's just the truth, and they need to know it. No, that's true. But we can also be gracious in the way we say it. Seasoned with salt. How many are thankful for the fact that we have seasonings? Abundant seasoning in the United States of America. You know, you go, I take the teen boys camping sometime, and we generally don't take seasoning. You know, squirrel tastes a lot different with salt and without salt. It does. I like a lot of salt on mine because I don't really like it. All right? Your beef, you know, your beef steak tastes a lot better with something, some kind of seasoning than it would just be, you know, it's good as it is, but a little seasoning makes it more palatable. Doesn't mean that you won't eat it either way, but it makes it much more appealing. You know, seasoning is the thing that makes your taste buds water. Like Brother Levi was talking today about, and I had him up here Saturday. We had jars of the big pickles, you know, the big pickles, like the 5-pound jar or whatever of the pickles. And I was smelling it. And I don't know, I like pickles, so if you don't like pickles, you're probably like, oh, that's disgusting. But my mouth will start, if I start smelling pickles, my mouth will start watering, like, oh, that. Or if I'm out visiting someplace or we're out working and somebody, you know, fires up a grill and you smell meat cooking. There's just something about smelling that meat cooking. And your mouth starts, but you know, a lot of that is because you have this thing of what you think this is going to taste like, all right? Well, the Bible talks about seasoned with salt, all right? Seasoned with salt. Do people okay, you know, I'd much rather take a medicine that doesn't have a flavor or has a good flavor than take one. You know, I hate Robitussin. You know why I hate Robitussin? Because it's disgusting. All right? You know, then there's my kids, there's some medicine. Mommy, can I have medicine tonight? What's wrong? I'm coughing. They like it. It's sweet. It tastes good. Okay? Do people look forward to seeing you come? Because they know that you've got a good word. We've got a young lady that comes here. And I promise you, I don't know if I've ever heard her. She's not even what I'd call a core kid. She rides the bus. I don't know if I've ever heard her say something negative about anybody. Never. She's always got, yeah, she's a good person. And I'm like, I see all the negative about it. You know, I'd much rather be around a person. I'd much rather be around a person like that than you dread asking this, you know, certain people, how are you doing? Hi, how are you today? Oh boy, I shouldn't ask that, you know. Seriously, do people, and listen, if you got a prayer request, I'm for praying for it. But at the same time, do people look forward to the words that come out of your mouth, or is it, oh, I'm depressed now? Seasoned with salt. Be with grace. Not everything. You know what grace means? Unmerited favor. Unmerited favor. Well, they just don't deserve. You know, I'm just going to rip their face because they don't deserve any better. Well, that's not speaking with grace. Okay? Grace is unmerited favor. We were in Colossians chapter 4. Go to Psalm chapter 19. I got 5 minutes. I got one more. Psalms chapter 19. This is about the grace one, though. Psalms chapter 19. We're going to look at verse number 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Is above all, honestly, this is probably the very first verse I should have gone to, is Christ honored in the things that we say? Would Christ say that to your brother in Christ, the way you said it? And it sometimes it's as much the tone as it is the words. Okay? Speak with grace. And fourthly, so we speak sparingly, speak in a timely manner, speak with grace. Number four is speak healthy speech. Healthy speech. Go to Titus chapter number 2. Titus chapter number 2. Titus chapter 2. We're going to look at verse number 8 here. Bible says, verse 7, let's start there. In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he is that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. What does sound mean? If I was to say that is, this is a sound structure, or they have sound health, all right? It means good. It means healthy. All right? Solid. And what's he saying here? You need to have sound speech. Sound speech. Healthy speech. You shouldn't be, well, obviously you shouldn't be cussing and stuff like that, but are the things that you say clean? All right? Are they healthy? Or are they perverse? We can go back to Proverbs chapter number 15, and we won't go to Proverbs 15. Let's go there. I just got to show you this verse. Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs 15, if you haven't noticed, we've been there in Proverbs 15 quite a bit. Talks a lot about your tongue. Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 2. Primarily, we're going to look at the last part of this, but look at the first part. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright. Let's stop there. You know, you may know something, but doesn't mean it needs to come out here. That's what gossip is. You know what gossip is when you know something and it's got to come out here. Being able to refrain 6 inches right here is the hardest thing that most people can do. Well, I got this juicy bit of information. I got to share it with everyone. All right? That's gossip. And the last part of that verse talks about that. But the mouth of the fools poureth out foolishness. Be careful with what you know and what comes out of your mouth. Okay? Is it something that's going to build up somebody? You know, the word edify, and we can go several places. We don't have time. The word edify means to build up. Are the things that you're saying building somebody up, or are they tearing them down? Okay? James chapter 4, verses 11. Are you in Titus or Proverbs? Proverbs, okay. Titus chapter 3, verse 2. You can look that up later. James chapter 4, verse number 11. Speak things that cause health. Many times, like I said to start with, many times we're condemned by the world by the things that we say. They hold those things against us. You're working on something, and here's a danger. You know one of the dangers of watching TV, and I know there's a lot of dangers, but we've been so indoctrinated with this culture. Okay, you watch TV, and everyone has an expletive for everything that bad that happens. Everything that happens, they say something, okay? Do you realize that when you smash your thumb with a hammer, you want to do something, all right? But doesn't mean that you should say a cuss word. I can be working with our teen boys. Listen to me. I can be working with our teen boys, and I've spent years working with them, all right? Think about this. And in one moment, bam, and I say something I shouldn't, that will never, and they hear me, that will never leave their mind. I promise you. Think about that. One word. Remember what we started in Ecclesiastes? Something you say can destroy all the works of your hands. Okay? Be in a habit of speaking correctly. Be in a habit of speaking properly. Think about what you say before you say it. Just take a moment. And what I'm saying, would it honor Christ? Should I say it? Is this the time to say it? Is this gracious speech? Is this going to build them up, or is it just empty? All right? So some things to think about. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Pray that you'd bless us and help us. Lord, I pray that you'd help me in my speech. Help me to be careful with what I say, what I do. And Lord, help my heart to be right so the things that come out of my mouth, it will be right. And Lord, I pray that you'd bless us and help us in Jesus' name. Amen.